Welcome. Welcome to you all, to our worship from Strontian and Morvern, Ardgour and Kingairloch. You are very welcome. If you are local, you're very welcome. If you're from further afield, you're welcome. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening on the podcast or over the telephone, all are welcome as we come together to worship our God. And we begin as we sing together from the 100th Psalm, the great song of praise. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. If you're following the words in the hymn book, you'll find them at number 63. Now let us draw near to our God in prayer. Discipling God, we are made in your image and called to follow your Son Jesus, the risen Christ. We are to be like him in every way. Lord, this can be scary stuff. Help us. Along with our brothers and sisters around the world, we gather to offer this time of worship, to acknowledge your love for us revealed in Jesus. In these strange days, our gatherings are very different, apart and yet united by our love for you. Even today, the harvest is large, many people seeking to find you. Amid this global pandemic and the fears and anxieties it holds for each one of us, we are discovering new ways to engage with people, and we're grateful for the wonder of technology that allows us to reach out to people in our communities and beyond. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail you, when we choose our own way instead of yours. Forgive us, Lord, for our frailties. Help us move forward, determined to be more like the people you created us to be, using our gifts and talents for the work of your kingdom, here and now. Lord Jesus, you have shown us the way to live, the way to behave. Help us Help us to want to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read from Matthew's Gospel, part of the story where Jesus calls the 12 disciples to share in his ministry, in his work of healing and preaching and reaching out with God's love for others. You remember the names of the 12 disciples, do you? Yeah, there was James. You get 2 points for James. There were two of them. And yeah, there was John, and another J. Four J's. Judas, the one who would betray him. Four J's, and we've got two S's. You got them? Two S's. Simon and Simon Peter. And then we've got two T's. Thomas. And another T. Thaddeus. So we've got James and James and Judas and John, Simon and Simon, Thaddeus and Thomas. And then we've got a B, an M, an A, and a P. B, Bartholomew. There used to be a company, Bartholomew, who made maps. That was B, map. Bartholomew, and then we've got an M, an A, and a P. I'll help you remember them. You got the M? Matthew. And the A? Andrew. And finally, P. Come on, you can get there! Philip. Okay, so four J's, two S's, two T's, a B, and a map. James and James, Judas and John, Simon and Simon, Thaddeus and Tom, Bartholomew, Matthew, Andrew and Philip. And that's the list of names that we have in Matthew's Gospel, which we're going to hear from in a moment. The other Gospels, the names can vary ever so slightly. Let's hear from Matthew's Gospel, reading from chapter 9 and from verse 35. Listen for the Gospel. Jesus went round visiting all the towns and villages. He taught in the synagogues, preached the good news about the kingdom, and healed people with every kind of disease and sickness. As he saw the crowds, his heart was filled with pity for them, because they were worried and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So he said to his disciples, "The harvest is large, but there are few workers to gather it in. Pray to the owner of the harvest that he will send out workers to gather in this harvest." Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the patriot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. These 12 men were sent out by Jesus with the following instructions. Do not go to any Gentile territory or any Samaritan towns. Instead, you are to go to the lost sheep of the people of Israel. Go and preach. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. bring the dead back to life, heal those who suffer from dreaded skin diseases, and drive out demons. You have received without paying, so give without being paid. Do not carry any gold, silver, or copper money in your pockets. Do not carry a beggar's bag for the journey, or an extra shirt, or shoes, or a stick. Workers should be given what they need. Amen. And may God bless these words in our hearing this day. I sometimes wonder, what would it have been like to have been one of those first disciples of Jesus? What would it be like to be with him every day, hearing him preach and teach, watching him heal people? What was it like to depend on others for food and for shelter? I wonder how the disciples felt when he sent them out among the villages. Maybe people in the villages would have known them and wondered why they had left their homes and their jobs to be with Jesus. Perhaps they laughed at them when they talked about the kingdom of God. How vulnerable did those disciples feel without food or money or spare clothing? How did it feel to be asked to heal people? As they quickly found out, being a follower of Jesus was not safe or easy. And fast forward a bit to the early church. The people then knew what had happened to Jesus because of how he had lived and taught. They knew about the resurrection. They also knew what preceded it. And through the letters of Paul and the stories being recorded by the gospel writers, they were hearing clearly the consequences of discipleship, of following Jesus, being hated by their families and handed over to governors, were for many daily realities. Throughout history, people who have become followers of Jesus have been involved in wars and suffering and controversy. They have often been persecuted. And today, in many parts of the world, Christian communities experience danger and fear and persecution. So in our communities, in our church, what does this reading say to us? Is it good news or is it bad news? Are parts of this reading relevant only to the early church? Where do we see the kingdom of God among us? Is being a Christian difficult in our communities? How do we support Christians in other communities who are having a harder time than we are? You remember the song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. A song that originated in India, made popular in the UK during the big rallies and crusades of the 1950s. Maybe some of you remember singing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Maybe some of you have stories to tell of how you became a follower of Jesus Christ. But there's a more important story. The story of what God has done in your life. Since the story of where God's story and your story have met one another, have come together in the last week. 2 weeks ago was Pentecost Sunday, and the moderator, Dr. Martin Fair, in the service that many of you would have shared in, was challenging us and reminding us to travel lightly. He was picking up on Jesus' words to the disciples to go and to share the good news of the kingdom, but not to take too much baggage with them. There was a challenge to us to make a mission makeover for our own church in our own times. What do we have to leave behind? What do we have to pick up as followers of Jesus in the 21st century? In that same Pentecost service, the moderator had used a number of words. He had asked people for 7 words to capture something of what it was that the church had to continue to fulfill, to continue that ministry of Jesus. I had provided my 7 words. They were there in the midst of others in that service. My 7 were awaken, develop, and sustain faith in Jesus. 7 words. Awaken, develop, and sustain faith in Jesus. I had to shorten a longer thought to get it down to 7 words. A phrase, something I heard another minister say when I was a very young, new minister. I remember a colleague saying about awakening, developing, and sustaining meaningful faith in Jesus Christ. And I've always held to these words as the core of what I'm called to do as a minister in the Kirk, as a follower of Jesus myself. Part of my following is to encourage others to follow, to awaken faith, to develop faith, and to sustain faith. Maybe some of you who are watching, I've been talking to colleagues, we're all talking about all the different things that are happening around the church at these times, and some getting terribly excited about the number of YouTube views and Facebook clicks. And there are certainly people who are never around the church buildings, who are engaging in the things that we're doing online. And if that's you, welcome. Welcome to online church. Welcome to the beginning of that journey of faith where something has awakened in you, perhaps. Spiritual curiosity. It's a thing, and those who engage in it are welcome. And I hope that you find a way to move into the next stage and to develop your faith, your discipleship, your followership with Jesus. Take time to read the Bible. It's actually a very exciting, good read. Start with Mark's Gospel. It's the shortest. Take time to talk to other followers of Jesus. Allow that faith to be awakened and to develop. And maybe others are sharing in our worship today and faith is developing. Maybe there's been a new thought over recent weeks and months as we've had different times and different opportunities to reflect upon life and love and what it is to journey with Jesus. And maybe part of our developing is to get deeper into the journey of faith, taking time, more time with our Bible, time to pray, time to know more of what is happening around the church. Our reading today took us to some thoughts of how it was hard for early Christians. And we think of persecution in the early church, and there's so much persecution in the church today. And maybe there are things that we can find out and learn and develop our understanding of what the Christian church is doing in the world. How has your faith developed in recent weeks and months? Where has God's story collided with your story? Meaningful faith is awakened, it's developed and sustained. And many of you who've been in this journey of faith and love for so long are finding some of these new ways hard. And I know that you're longing to get back to the church building and to be with others and to sing familiar psalms and songs and to do things the way they have. Well, have they? Have they always been that way? Have we not always been on a journey? I know that these can be difficult times of change, but you know that if we do nothing, then the Church of Scotland as we know it, cannot continue for much longer. And this isn't about COVID-19. This is a journey of decline that's been happening for decades. Our faith can be sustained in these difficult times, and we can pray for renewal of the church. We can pray that we carry forward the best of the past, the best of our tradition and heritage, and pray that we leave behind the things that we need not take forward into a different future. And what things will we pick up as we journey forward, all at different stages and ages of faith and life? As faith, meaningful faith in Jesus Christ, is awakened, developed, and sustained. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ today. Maybe as I was inviting you to think of the names of the 12 disciples, maybe you were thinking of a few others. Mark or Luke, they're the ones that always catch people out. Not among the 12 disciples, although gospel writers. Paul called himself an apostle, but never actually was with the earthly Jesus of Nazareth. Maybe you mentioned some other names along the way. Did you mention Betty and Bob and Bill and Kate? Not disciples in the sense of the 12, but disciples, followers of Jesus, as you and I continue that journey of learning, of discovery, of discipleship, following the Lord of life and love. Amen. May God bless these thoughts in all our lives today. And now let us pray. God of compassion, in a world in which we sometimes struggle to understand what it might mean today to have a plentiful harvest, but know all too well what it means to have few labourers, we bring our prayers for other people and prayers for ourselves as a community of faith, endeavouring to live out our commitment as your disciples. We pray for all who feel the weight of oppression and persecution in their lives, individually and as a community. May they know a sense of belonging, and may we speak up to confront injustice wherever and however we find it. We pray for all those who are grieving, those who have lost someone special to them, who sense so deeply the division and isolation that loss can bring. May they know your comforting presence. And may we open our hearts in whatever way we can to be a supportive friend. Pray for all who worry and know the struggle that the next months and years will be for them, with less income, greater costs, job insecurity, fewer opportunities. May they know your steadfast companionship, and may we be generous in our solidarity. We pray for all whose labour is not recognised or appreciated, and those who feel they have been excluded from the riches and opportunities that have blessed others. May they demand recognition, and may we stand with all those whom others seek to make scapegoats. We pray for all those in positions of leadership with difficult decisions to make and responsibilities to heed. May they be guided by a spirit of duty to all, and with a clarity of thought that will help them navigate competing demands. And may we be supportive and questioning, generous and honest. Hear our prayers, Lord God. Hear the quiet thoughts in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. As we bring our offerings, we think of all that we are able to give in the continuing service of the church. What are the things that we can do as disciples, as followers of Jesus? We can pray. We can pray for the church in these difficult times. We can support the church financially in our offerings and donations. The link that you see now on screen will take you to some updated notes on ways in which you can give to the church. And there's now an online facility on the Church of Scotland website that can direct your gift to any of the local congregations. Beyond money, you can give your time. You can give your talents. You can share something of the good news with others. I was speaking to a colleague the other day, and we were saying that, you know, in the past, before video worship services, people were maybe a wee bit apprehensive about saying, "Do you want to come along to church with me?" because you couldn't be sure if the hymns were going to be good, if there was going to be a big crowd, if the minister was having an off day. But hey, you can wait until you decide if it's a good one. And then you can maybe say to a friend, a neighbour or someone in the family, want to listen to that or watch the church service? Digital evangelism. Maybe you can share or link or like or subscribe to the church YouTube channel. Lots of different things, little things and big things that we can do. And over the coming weeks and months, I want to invite you to journey with me in that mission makeover of which the moderator spoke. And on our church website over the coming weeks, there's going to be some different ideas about things that you can do in your church family and community. As together we're going to wrestle with what it really means to be a disciple, a learner, a follower, one called to encourage others into the good news, into the gospel of love, forgiveness, and reconciliation and justice. These are good things that we want to share with our world. So what do we bring? Our offerings, our intention, our money, our time, our talents, our hopes, our joys, our prayers. And now let us pray. Lord Jesus, you gave your life that we might know the full extent of God's love for all creation. Today we offer our very selves, all that we are, all that we can be, with your help. Receive all that we offer, our time, our talents, our money. Take and use it all for your glory. And let us pray together and say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus, who knows our every weakness and the burdens that we bear. Oh, what a joy, what a privilege and mercy to carry everything to him in prayer. Jesus, we come, our defenses are undone, and we lay our fragile prayers before your throne. Jesus, we trust in your never failing love, knowing safe within your grace we find our home. We find our home. Strength within the struggle, peace within the trouble, and hope in our despair. And when we are lost or fading in our courage, He will raise us up and hide us with Him there. So Jesus, we come, our defenses are undone, and we lay our fragile prayers before Your throne. And Jesus, we trust in Your never-failing love, knowing safe within Your grace we find our home. We find our home.
Our worship is over, and may we know of God's blessing from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with us and with all those we love and those we should love today, throughout this week, and always. Amen.